For nearly 100 years, there was a tradition at Yosemite National Park. In fact, the tradition started before the park even existed. It started one day in 1870 when James McCauley swept the coals from his campfire off the side of the mountain. People watching from below were mesmerized by what looked like a waterfall of fire streaming down the granite cliffs. And thus began the tradition of the firefall. In fact, the backdrop for today's sermon is a photo from the 1960s of one of the actual firefalls on that mountain in Yosemite. Every summer, for nearly a century, people would pile enormous mounds of red fir bark at the top of Glacier Point. In the late afternoon, a fire tender would set the piles on fire, and every night, exactly at 9 p.m., the time would come to push the burning embers over the edge of the cliff. But this was a long-standing tradition, and things had to happen a certain way. Before the fire could go over, something had to happen. The fire tender would send down a signal, and all the people gathered at the camp below would shout with a loud voice, "Let the fire fall." Come on, somebody shout, "Let the fire fall." And when the fire fell down the mountain, the people would celebrate. At one point, more than 2 million people would come during the summer months to see the fire fall. It was truly unforgettable, but in 1968, the fire fell for the last time. Years later, a man who had seen the fire fall when he was a child traveled back to Yosemite expecting to see the fire fall again. And when he got up to Glacier Point, he asked one of the park rangers, "When's the fire fall?" The ranger looked at him and said, "I'm sorry, sir, the fire doesn't fall here anymore." The fire doesn't fall here anymore. That could be said of so many churches and so many believers today. There is no longer a burning bonfire of praise and glory. There's no longer the joy and the fire of the Holy Spirit. There's no longer an atmosphere of expectation from God. Where there used to be a red-hot blaze, today there's nothing left but a smoldering ember. Gone is the praise, and gone is the glory, and gone is the passionate worship, and gone is the hunger for His presence. Gone is the oil in the lamps. Matthew 25:6, at midnight they were aroused by a shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming, come out to meet him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some oil because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us." Get your own oil. I'm going to tell your neighbor, get your own oil. You see, they weren't ready. They fell asleep. They were not expecting and anticipating his arrival. They said, "Give us your oil. Our lamps are going out." One translation puts it like this: "Our flame is dying." Jesus gives us this warning for the church in the last days: foolish saints with dying flames. Flames that were once ignited by the fire of the Holy Ghost have grown dim and are barely burning anymore. They're no longer shining bright in a world of darkness. Church, we need a firefall today. We need the fire of God to fall on us again. And if you believe that, shout, "Let the fire fall." So what is the fire of God? I'm glad you ask. Number one, the fire is a symbol of God's covenant. In Genesis 15, when God established his covenant with Abraham, God himself appeared as a burning flame. In all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it said Jesus would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. God established the old covenant with fire, and on the day of Pentecost under the new covenant, what was the sign they saw from heaven? Tongues of fire. The church was born in the fire of the Spirit. The fire fell. Souls were saved. Lives were changed. Miracles happened. And God has not changed. The one true God is still sending fire from heaven today. And as people of the covenant, we must have the fire of God. It represents His covenant. Number two, the fire of God purifies us. Hebrews 12:29 is one of the shortest verses in the Bible, but it's a powerful statement. Our God is a consuming fire. Here's the deal. You cannot be touched by the fire of God and walk away unchanged. Are you with me? You can't be touched by the fire of God and walk away the same that you were before. Malachi 3:2 says that our God is as a refiner's fire. Isaiah 4:4 calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of burning. Hebrews 12:14 says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. Ooh, got quiet in here. I know this is going over like a pregnant pole vaulter, but you need to hear this. The people of God are called to be holy. Galatians 6, verse 7, do not be deceived. A lot of people are deceived these days. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. What's the Bible saying? You can't shack up with the devil and expect God to pay the rent. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Listen, I'm not here to preach what you like. I'm here to preach the Word of God and help you get to heaven. Because the fire of God purifies us and sanctifies us and separates us from the world. The fire of God is a refiner's fire. I don't want you to bust hell wide open and say it's my pastor's fault. I don't want your blood on my hands because I didn't preach the truth. I will be in heaven one day cheering you on, saying, I know, see, you made it. I told you to get rid of pornography. I told you to live right. I told you to stop sleeping with somebody you won't marry to. Oh, Jesus. I know it's not popular. I know people don't preach it like they used to, but Jesus is coming back soon, and He's coming back for a church without spot and without blemish. And it's time for the church to get right with God, because judgment starts at the house of God. Starts by getting back to the truth of the Word of God. Too many Christians are getting woke when we need to be awake and understand the times we're living in. Too many weak, cowardly people afraid to preach the truth, so scared they're going to hurt somebody's feelings or get canceled by popular culture that they compromise the very Word of God. God's Word has not changed. We can change, culture can change, the world can change, but the Word of God is settled forever in heaven. And when we preach the unfiltered, uncompromised Word of God, the fire of God comes and purifies us. The fire of God is not here to hurt you. It's here to save you, to burn away selfishness, to burn away lust and perversion, to burn away greed and envy, to burn away gossip and bitterness, arguing and strife, racism and two-facism, wokeness and brokenness, hating and fornicating. I can keep going if you want me to. When you preach the Word of God for what it is, when you call out sin for what it is, the fire of God falls and purifies His people. 1 Corinthians 6:9, I don't say this, the Word of God says this. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. There's that word again. Do not be deceived. Many are being, even the elect are being deceived in these last days. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now here's the message of hope. And such were some of you. We are living proof that Jesus could save the most vile, disgusting, awful, no good, worthless sinners. You don't believe me? Just look around. And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That is hope for humanity. But listen to me. If any of those things are your present, your lifestyle, you are not in the kingdom of God. But there is hope. Now hear me. Here's the good news. God loves you, and He wants to set you free from all of that. He wants to set you free. He wants to make you new. If you put your life in God's hands, He will take that present and put it in your past. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. And if Jesus did it for us, He'll do it for you. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When I tell you about what He did in my life, the Holy Spirit is going to let you know what? He can do it for you too. Come on, tell somebody, He can do it for you. The fire of God is a symbol of God's presence. When the Israelites walked through the wilderness, the Bible said that God led them by a pillar of fire by night. When they saw the fire, they knew that God was with them, that God was leading them and protecting them along the way. Leviticus chapter 9 said that a fire went out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the sacrifice, and the people shouted and fell on their faces in worship. Zechariah 2:5. Now, I love this. This is awesome. This blows my mind. Zechariah 2:5. God says, I myself will be a protective wall of fire around Jerusalem, says the Lord, and I will be the glory inside the city. I like that old song, Jesus Be a Fence, but I changed the way I prayed. I said, God, be a wall of fire around me. Hallelujah. Be a wall of fire on the outside and your glory of your presence on the inside. When the fire falls, the presence of God is in the house. The only fire some churches have left is the pilot light in the furnace. No fire in the pulpit, no fire in the pews, no fire in the praying, no fire in the singing, no fire in the praising. Charles Spurgeon said, put fire in the sermon or throw the sermon in the fire. We need the fire of God. Lord, let the fire fall on us. When worship is just going through the motions, it's time for the fire to fall. When we're full of worldliness and our heart is no longer convicted of sin, it's time for the fire to fall. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is in you. One translation says, kindle the fire within you. Stir up the gift. Fan the flames. Keep it burning. Don't give up when stress and trouble come your way, because it's coming. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Don't let the fire of God die in your life when you face troubles. Come on, tell somebody, don't quit. Stay lit. Don't quit. Stay lit. You'll remember that, won't you? 20 years ago, Northside Church in Newport News, Virginia, lost their building to a fire after it was hit by lightning. Their response to the disaster was posted on the church sign a few days later. It said, we're still on fire. Oh, I'm still standing, baby. And when it looks like I was dying, when it looked like I was losing, when it looked like my whole world was going to burn down to the ground, I thank God I didn't have enough sense to quit. The devil hit me with his best shot, and it won't enough. I'm still on fire. I'm still trusting God. I'm still standing on his promises, and I'm still giving God the glory because he has done great things. Come on, shout, we're still on fire. Still on fire. God, let the fire fall. Fire comes from the Lord, but we have to keep it burning, church. Proverbs 26:20, this is deep. Proverbs 26:20 says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Ain't that spiritual? Ain't that profound? Sometimes the Bible has to spell it out for us because we don't seem to get it. If you don't put wood on the fire burns out. There used to be a fire, but now it's gone. Why? Because you're not putting wood on the fire. Reading the Word of God is the wood on the fire. Prayer is the wood on the fire. Praise is the wood on the fire. Living holy is the wood on the fire. Forgiving your enemies is wood on the fire. Praying in the Holy Ghost is wood on the fire. Resisting temptation is wood on the fire. Talking about the goodness of Jesus is wood on the fire. Somebody say, let the fire fall. Oh God, let the fire fall on my soul. Let the fire of God burn in my heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the spirit. Let me ask somebody this. How long are you going to play? How long are you just going to play around when God has a high calling on your life? Don't you quench the fire of God. Don't you fill your life with so many things and be so busy that you don't give God room to move. Quench not the spirit. Don't put fake logs on the fire. A whole lot of Christians got a lot of smoke but no fire. Don't put fake logs on the fire. We need the real thing. How many of you remember when you were first convicted of your sins? Now don't raise your hands, but think about it. How about lately? Are you still getting convicted of sin these days? I'm afraid that so many churches are trying so hard to make the world feel comfortable that we're quenching the Spirit of God. Salvation is a supernatural thing. Listen, you and I never saved anybody. Do you know that? It takes the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit and the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. I like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:4. He said, my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the real thing now more than ever. We need the power of the Spirit of God. Jeremiah had Pentecostal fever. He said, I got the word in me and it's like fire shut up in my bones. He was a preacher running a temperature. God said to him, I will make my words in your mouth a fire. Psalm 104 says he makes his ministers a flaming fire. We got a lot of hotheads in the church, but we need some hot hearts. Hello. We need some holy heartburn. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, they had holy heartburn when they talked with Jesus. They said, did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke the words of life? You want holy heartburn? You want your heart on fire? You better start talking to Jesus. The Bible says David had a band of men whose hearts God had touched. Let me ask you something. Does God still touch your heart today? Or have you become too callous and too hardened? Have you been doing this church thing so long that it's become commonplace where God can't touch you and reach you anymore? It's time to get the fire back. Isaiah got a touch of fire. The angel took a live coal from the altar of heaven and touched his lips and prepared him for ministry. John the Baptist had the fire, and people came from the cathedrals to the caves to hear him preach. We need the fire. This week, I read an article published by the state of California. You know, they're having major reforms right now in how they manage their forests. They got a little fire problem. But they discovered something about the sequoia trees. The more they tried to protect them from fire, the less they reproduced. This is what they found. The sequoia tree cannot reproduce without fire. You see, the seeds are in a hardened cone, and when that cone falls, it is so hard on the outside and so thick that nothing will break that outer shell short of the heat of a forest fire. These trees are literally born in the fire. They found that not only does the fire break the shell, but it burns away all of the foliage on the bottom of the forest that keeps the seeds from reaching the soil. Church, without fire, we can't reproduce. Without the fire of God, we're never going to reach this generation. This generation has a hard shell on them. That's why I'm not scared of y'all. Because I've ministered to some teenagers, and they are terrifying. I've ministered to people in prison. I've ministered to people who got out of prison convicted of murder, and I have never seen anybody with a harder heart than the average teenager in this generation. This is a hardened generation. And we're never going to reach them without the fire of God. We need the fire of the Holy Spirit to sweep across this nation, to sweep through our churches. Listen, if we can catch the fire, then our children will catch the fire, and our children's children will catch the fire, and we will see a revival that goes through the generations. But we need the fire of God. Back when I was growing up, people would come to the Pentecostal churches on Sunday night just to see what was going to happen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all know, Because you never knew when somebody was going to jump up and go running down the aisle or run into a wall or jump up and dance in the spirit and shout and start praising God. And boy, I remember my Methodist and Baptist and Lutheran and Presbyterian friends, man, they show up just to see what was going to go on. It was exciting. Nowadays, if you go to the Pentecostal church, you'd be bored out of your mind. We need the fire of God again. We need the fire of God's covenant. We need the fire of God's holiness. We need the fire of God's presence. We need the fire of revival, church. And this is what happens when the fire falls. The fire draws people to God. In Leviticus, when the fire came out from God's presence, people fell on their faces and worshiped. When Elijah confronted sin and idolatry, he said, "Let the true God send fire." And this is what happened. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you." That's what the fire of God does. It doesn't scare people away. It draws people to God. "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God.'" Fire turns the hearts of the people back to God. We need the fire of the Holy Ghost. Oh God, that's what we need. It'll heal our families. It'll free addictions. It'll deliver people bound by the enemy. It will break generational chains off of us. God, send the fire. Lord, send the fire on us. There's something about the fire of God that makes the snakes run. Hallelujah. Will you stand this morning and just ask Him for the fire? Come on, ask God for the fire. Lord, let the fire fall. Let the fire fall again, oh God. Pour out Your fire on our homes and on our families and on our city. Pour out Your fire on the church. Pour out Your fire on this generation. Lord, send Your fire. Listen, I left out one little detail about Yosemite. You see, when the people below shouted, "Let the fire fall," just before the fire came, they would hear a voice from up high that would shout out, "The fire is falling. The fire is falling." Church, lift up your hands this morning. I hear a voice from heaven shouting, "The fire is falling. The fire is falling. The fire is falling. Now is the time. Now is the time. Today is the day. It's time for the fire of God to fall. It's time for a fresh outpouring, church. This thing was born in the fire. It's sustained in the fire. And today, ashes won't do. We are people of the fire. Lord, stir up the gifts in us. Fan the flames. Awake us up, oh God. Come on, cry out, Lord, let the fire fall. Ask Him for the fire to fall in your family. Ask Him for the fire to fall on your children. Ask Him for the fire to fall on your life. Rekindle the fire. Holy Spirit, fan the flames. Come on, lift up your voice for just a moment and pray, Lord God, let the fire fall.
Lord, let the fire fall, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Lord, I just thank You for this on time word. And as we have our hands lifted to heaven, if you want the fire to fall, come to the altar. If you want that fire that He's been talking about all morning, come to the altar with your hands raised. God, we need more of You this morning. We need that fire from heaven to fall. We need You, God. Our nation needs You. Our church needs You.
Send Your fire.
Send Your fire, Father. Lord, we want it now like never before, Lord. Thank You for sending Your fire. Thank You, Jesus. Rain down Your fire, Father. Thank You, Jesus.
Let the fire fall, let the wind blow, let the glory come down. Let the fire fall, let the wind blow, let the glory come down. Let the fire fall, let the wind blow, let the glory come down. Let the fire fall, let the wind blow, let the glory come down. Come on, make that your prayer this morning. Let the fire fall, let the wind blow, let the glory come down. Let the fire fall, let the wind blow, let Your glory come down. Rain down. Let the fire fall, let the wind blow, let Your glory come down. Let the fire fall, let the wind blow. Let the wind blow, let Your glory come down. Let the fire fall, let the wind blow, let Your glory come down.
Come on, church, lift your voice.
Let the fire fall, let the wind blow, let the glory come down. Let the glory come down.
they're lowering the lights in here. I want you to make this personal this morning. We've been for weeks talking about a stirring that's, we've been asking for a stirring. We've been asking for revival. We've been asking for the fire. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been seeing it. Last week, everybody left, and there was some that stayed, and the glory fell down. And for an hour, we were in here worshiping. When the fire falls, we don't need to be in a hurry to go to eat lunch, because there's a hunger that God can quench. And this morning, there's a hunger that I want like never before. So God, we're asking you this morning for the fire to fall in here like never before, Father. God, let your anointing be placed on your saints that are desiring to have a deeper relationship in you, that want the fire to fall in their life, Father. God, I thank you, Father, for a Holy Ghost fire to fall on them, Lord. Anoint their hands. Anoint their lips, God. Anoint their footsteps, that everything they do represents the fire of the Holy Spirit. God, let when people come around them, they feel the fire, God, of your Holy Spirit, Lord. God, I thank you for the fire to fall like never before this morning. Lord, I thank you for your presence, Father. Lord, I thank you, Father, that this morning as your fire is falling, that curses are being removed from lives that have been keeping people bound. I rebuke those curses that you've been living under and that bondage you've been living under for years. God, I thank you this morning for deliverance. God, I thank you for deliverance in minds this morning. I thank you, Father, for setting the spirit of fear and depression and anxiety and mental health disorders that have kept people closed up in their mind and hindered them from what you have for them. I speak life into your mind in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you, Father, Lord, for healing minds, for healing marriages this morning. Lord, I thank you that there is a marriage that is under attack right now. The enemy is doing everything that he can. That this morning, whenever your saints walk out of here, that there is a bond that has been there like never before. I rebuke the devourer of the enemy that is trying to attack that marriage. God, I thank you for wellness. I thank you for wholeness. And I thank you that they fall in love like never before, Father. Lord, I thank you, Father, for doing a mighty move in this church. God, I thank you that as we seek your face, Father, that we see miracles, that ministry gifts are being birthed this morning, Father, that where the enemy has kept people down and bound, Father, saying they're not good enough, that this morning they walk out of here full of worth, and they see the God that loves them, Father. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for a passion this morning. God, I thank you for a passion to serve you, Father. Lord, for a passion, Lord, to seek your face, to not be in a hurry, Father, but Lord, a passion, Lord, that is contagious, a passion that cannot be contained, a passion that comes out in our words, Father. And Lord, I thank you, Father, Lord, that a fire is coming down in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Father, Lord, that we need your fire. Lord, I thank you that it is raining down, and God, never let that fire stop. Lord, I thank you, Father, for your fire. Lord, I thank you, Father, Lord. Just rain down your presence right now, Father. Yes. Just take some moments to worship. If you want that fire, just ask him for it. Diagnosis completely healed. And I was asked a couple weeks ago, why don't we see that today in the church? And the reason we don't see that today in the church is because people don't believe. They don't believe that the God of yesterday is the God of today. The only thing keeping us from that taking place is what we believe in our heart. We believe He saved us. Why can't He set us free? You believe you've been saved, right? So if you believe in salvation, then He can set you free. He can deliver you. He can heal you. He can anoint you. He can make you a new person. But what's happened is we've become stagnant and the fire stopped falling and nobody looks for it anymore. You don't even look for it. You come into church. We worship, we're ready to go to lunch. But when you begin to look for the presence of God, and when you begin to desire to see those miracles, the fire falls. See, the burden is not just on me and Josh, because we're hot, we're lit, we're ready to go. But as one body, we have to come together seeking the presence of God. And we'll see demons casted out. We'll see people delivered. We'll see marriages put back together. We'll see healings and cancer reports that have been completely removed. Tumors that were there that are gone. But we need to want it. We need to want that presence. And this morning, like never before, in the last couple of weeks, I have wanted to see revival. I have wanted to see the presence of God. I have wanted to see and to feel more than what I felt years ago. Now, God's presence is here, but this is different. If you've ever experienced what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. It's something that you long for. You want it. When the doors open, you're here. Before they even open, because you long for it. You long to be in those presence and to see those things happen. And that's the same God we serve now. It's the same. How many of you really want the fire to fall? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just want your fire. God, send your fire. Thank you for revival. God, I thank you, Father, for your presence. God, I thank you for deliverance. Lord, we just thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Father, God. Let your fire fall. Let your glory come down. God, let us not be able to contain it. Let wildfire, Father. God, use us to touch the community, Father. Let us be that beacon of hope, Father, for those that are dying and going to hell. God, use us to be what we need to be, Father. God, refine us. Get rid of the things that are in us that need to be out of us. God, refine us with that refiner's fire, Father. God, thank you, Father, for a different level, for a new level, Father. Lord, we worship you and we praise you, Father God. You are the God of God, all creation. And Lord, I thank you, Father. Lord, we just worship you, Father God. Give you the opportunity to make him the Lord of your life. Our days are numbered, and Jesus is coming back soon. And if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you were to meet him today, you are saved, and he would say, "Welcome into my kingdom." But if you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this morning I'm going to ask that you say, repeat this prayer with me. And even if you don't, if you've served God and you say, "I want to rededicate my life to him today. I want to make a new commitment." Believe in this prayer with all of your heart and you will be saved. So we're going to pray this prayer this morning. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe in you. Save me. Set me free. Forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. And with your help, I'm going to live for you forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, Father, for the salvations. Thank you that heaven is rejoicing, Father. Lord, I thank you, Father, for heaven rejoicing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for rejoicing.